Anyone here sign up to go to Mars one way? No. Did you?
I tried.
You tried? You didn't get in?
No.
Any fallback positions? Venus? Pluto? A long trip to Pluto. No, you did try. Did you apply and you all the... Didn't get to the video application. I got Andrew Rader on here now in Thousand Oaks, California. He's wrote the book Leaving Earth, Why the One Way to Mars Makes Sense. He's on the line with us right now. He's also the biggest know-it-all in Canada. Did you know that? Which I don't think is that hard, frankly. I don't see such a... How hard could that be? It's Canada. Come on. Andrew, how are you this morning?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine. It's kind of early out there, I know. Thank you for doing this early.
No problem at all.
Yeah. Are you yourself going to Mars?
Well, that's the plan. I don't know if I actually am, but I would definitely like to. I'd like to see anyone go, actually.
Yeah.
But if it takes me going to have people go, then I will definitely volunteer.
You will? Well, shouldn't you have thought about it before now?
It's
getting pretty
well,
late. They're taking applications.
Yeah, I've thought about it for most of my life. And I think that it's something I definitely like to do. I'm actually surprised when people wouldn't go, given the opportunity. I mean, why wouldn't you do something like that with your life? I think that's...
Well, the fact that you're not coming back is like the worst airline situation you could find yourself in, really, you know.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. Yeah. In some sense, all of life is a one-way journey, though.
Well, that's true philosophically. But in point of fact, you know, if you're somewhere else for the rest of your life, that's not accessible. That's a little bit different. Why does it have to be one way? Why couldn't it be a round trip?
Well, it could be a round trip, and I definitely support one way or a round trip as well. But I think that the technical challenges involved in an astrotype mission, where you send a giant spaceship and explore Mars from orbit for several years and then bring them back, is a lot bigger of a technical challenge than sending very simple spacecraft, a very simple mission architecture where you send people and then send supplies. It's effectively what we have with the International Space Station, where we do resupply them on a regular basis.
Right.
And we have a capability to send things to Mars, a vastly greater capability than getting anything back from the surface.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we had giant rockets on Mars waiting to send things back to Earth from Mars, then a two-way mission would make so much sense. But it's actually relatively easy for us to send things to Mars. There are some challenges with
landing. It's getting them back that's a problem, apparently.
But getting them back is a real problem because there's no giant rockets on Mars to come back.
Now,
it's all about
they should have thought of that in the first place. Aren't you worried of attracting a lot of Israeli settlers to Mars?
In the long term, possibly.
Yeah. And the housing itself. Now, I've seen. Are these? I know you can't really talk about some of the things you're doing at SpaceX, right?
Well, that's right. I can tell you that we are indeed launching rockets into space.
Okay, that I got from the rockets I saw being launched into space by space. Don't you guys do that one that hovers and comes back down?
Yeah, that's right.
That's a cool one. Were you involved in that one?
Oh, I can't talk
you
about
can't,
it.
You can't? I'm sorry. All right. How's the family? How's the family, Andrew? Are they doing well, everything? Are you married? I don't think you're. Are you married? I didn't see
no,
that.
No, I'm not married.
Okay. No. Thinking about
My family's all back in Canada. I think they're doing well.
Yeah, good. And actually, you know, speaking of that, I saw there's a couple, or the wife applied to go to Mars. And it was kind of an interesting story because you wonder about this. And she has a very understanding husband. They got married and they're very much in love, apparently. But she is going to Mars. And when is it, 2023, something like that?
Yeah, yep, I think so.
Yeah. I know, we're not talking about it. I'm not really. I was just thinking about the psychology behind it. And her husband says, well, his at first he thought this was all about me. I thought you're leaving me. Over time, he changed his mind. The more she talked about it, the more I realized she was doing this for the right reasons. She was doing this to show humanity what we can all do if we work together. Living without her will be agony that I can only describe in an article for Texas Magazine. So,
I know some people like that, too. Actually, I know a medical doctor, a lady who's doing the same thing, and she has a husband.
Yeah. That's asking a lot of people, though. He said he's going to dedicate his life to cutting ribbons in her name on Earth and all that stuff. As the first Mars astronaut. But it's asking a lot of an individual. I was going to say, the places that you have up there for them, I know you can't talk about this, are not all that attractive. They're like little truncated Airstream trailers.
Yeah, it's a really long-distance relationship.
Yeah.
You would be kind of living in a trailer for a long time.
Yeah.
And eventually you might be living in a hobbit hole. So, you know.
In a what?
In a hobbit hole, like Bilbo Baggins.
Well, that could only be better, I think, than living in an Airstream.
It's easier to dig a house out of a mountain or something like that, and then you get all that radiation protection, which on Mars is really important, too. So,
yes. It sounds just ideal to me. I don't know why more people haven't signed up. Can we talk about...
You can build bricks, too, actually. You want to...
Use
very simple materials that you can get on Mars.
Yeah.
And the soil is actually perfect for making bricks out of. So you can build kind of like a
red
Roman
ones.
House.
A lot of red bricks.
Like red bricks, that's right.
Yeah. Look like Harvard or something after a while.
Yeah. And the other thing is plastics, actually. You can extrude plastics really well because you can make plastics out of simple molecules that you can actually get from the Martian water and air, the carbon dioxide in the air.
Mm. Okay. Let me ask the young woman here in the audience, why did you want to go to Mars?
Why wouldn't you go to Mars?
Why wouldn't you? That's what people always say when you ask them something like that.
Yeah, that's what I always wonder. So you think I'm crazy for wanting to go to Mars, but I think all of you are crazy for not wanting to go. I mean, I don't understand.
I don't think anyone is crazy, and yet everyone is crazy.
To some extent. I mean, you know, given the chance to do something with your life that's just so amazing, like going to another planet for the first time in human history, for the first time in perhaps the history of any of the life on our planet for 4 billion years.
Yeah.
Why would you turn that down?
No, for about a day or 72 hours, I would say, look, I was on the first time ever on a planet, and then can we go home now because I got things to do, and the garden doesn't water itself.
Yeah.
The puggle has to go out. I'd be thinking about my puggle.
Well, I do think that once we have people there, that's actually the thing.
Yeah.
Sending people there will drive the incentives to create the technology to make it relatively easy to go both ways from Earth to Mars.
Yeah, too late
and
probably
we
for
do,
them.
We do. It's false to say we don't know how to come back from Mars. We actually really do.
Yeah.
It's just that the architecture is much simpler to go there than to come back.
Mm.
And I don't think it should be a prerequisite that we know precisely how we're going to get people home before we send them. You know, you can make methane out of the atmosphere and the water on Mars.
Yeah.
Make oxygen, and we can make rocket fuel on Mars. We know how to do that today.
Yeah.
We knew how to do that in the 1840s. So
we did.
You make a methane oxygen rocket, and you can come back from Mars, right? So we send an unfueled rocket. So we know how to do this. It's just that there doesn't have to be a plan in place, in my view, to bring people back before we send them, because if we make that a prerequisite, it's never going to happen. And we can send them supplies, we can keep them alive, and in fact, I wouldn't go unless I'd seen multiple spaceships landing on Mars. I'd seen that it's, you know, relatively proven that we can land large spacecraft on Mars.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd have to see it happen, and I'd have to see my base established with back of supplies for many years before I would go. It's not just you're setting off with nothing there. You're setting off to a base that's already been robotically established, with years of supplies already in place. In some sense, it's not any different from having a space station on another planet.
Yeah, except you come back from
Mars. And we do that today.
Yeah.
You come back from that, but you could actually come back from Mars as well.
Yeah.
And I think it's something
could
that
is a big word here. In terms of human exploration, usually you don't send the guys out. Magellan said, okay, we're never coming back, but it's going to be a great trip. You know, he didn't come back, but it was accidental.
Yeah, well, 80% of his crew didn't come back. In fact, 21 people got back to Spain out of about 200. But the people who went to Australia set off on a more than six-month journey that was extremely perilous and probably more dangerous than going to Mars.
Uh-huh.
The chances of you not coming back or not even arriving in Australia and there you weren't planning to come back was probably lower than your chances of going to Mars.
Yes, and then you end up being Australian, so there's like a double bind there.
I know, right?
Okay. Now you've actually written the book on this now, and you got paying for it and landing on Mars and so forth, and you do have like the capsules here. Is that your end of? We can't talk about that, I guess. But do you actually work in the fabrication of these vehicles, or in the? Can we talk about any of that?
So it's not even.
I mean,
clear.
what do you do in this? Is what I want to know.
There's two separate things. Yeah. It's not even clear that SpaceX would necessarily be involved in this.
Okay.
I support it in a general sense, architecture-free. So I will say that my book talks a lot about SpaceX, but I actually wrote it before I started working at SpaceX.
Okay. Was that when you were just the biggest know-it-all in Canada and that propelled you into this?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm an aerospace engineer. I have a background in this. Actually, my background at MIT, my PhD, is in long-duration human spaceflight. So how to keep people alive and healthy in space with artificial gravity. I also worked on spacesuit design. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that Mars, for example, is the optimal location that we know of for human locomotion. On Earth, there's a bit too much gravity to move around really efficiently.
Yeah.
And on the moon, there's not enough.
I find that, yeah. But not enough. And Mars is good?
Mars is perfect. It's the sweet spot, actually.
It's the sweet spot for human locomotion.
That's right. So walking around efficiently. So if you want to run a marathon, run it on Mars. Or the Mars basketball team would be superstars of the solar system.
Or a Mars-a-thon, I guess they call them. But even a half one would be good, probably. What gravity, compared to Earth gravity, we're talking about, what, 0.8 or something like that?
38%.
38%? Oh, that's
0.38.
That's forgiving.
Yeah, it's pretty low. Yeah.
That'd be good. Would you? So then, people would be leaving their capsules, I mean their airstreams up there, and locomoting around the surface.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the whole point. Yeah, they'd have to wear a spacesuit outside, at least at first. I think that in the very long term, one of the main reasons to go to Mars, if Mars was going to forever be a cold, frozen desert. There'd be a lot less reason to go. I still think there would be reason to go, and you could build, for example, domes or something like that in the long run.
Right.
But I think one of the main reasons to go is Mars has, I think, the potential to become a second Earth. We could terraform it, create a greenhouse effect, which humans are pretty good at. Mm-hmm. And if you create a very large greenhouse effect, you can bring in the heat and trap it there and warm up Mars. Mars has a lot of frozen water, and Mars could have oceans. Mars probably did once have oceans. And you can see pictures online of terraformed Mars. So what Mars would look like if it had oceans and had plant life. And Mars could really be a second planet that we could have. Mars has as much surface area as all the land of the entire Earth. So if you take out the oceans of Earth, that's how big Mars is, almost exactly.
But if you put oceans on it, though, it's going to start eroding a lot of that.
Right, yeah, it'll be a bit smaller, but it'll still be, you know, the size of Asia and Africa or something like that.
Would we need to go up there and just do what we're doing down here and just release a lot of carbon dioxide and stuff to get things rolling?
Well, yeah, of course, you're not going to have a lot of Nike shoe plants or whatever, oil refineries. So what you're going to do is probably make factories that actually produce the worst greenhouse effect gases that we know of, like CFCs and things like that. So you'd actually deliberately, we know there are a series of greenhouse gases that we avoid, that we've actually prohibited the manufacture of on Earth. But if you go and set up factories that specifically target those and are set out to just produce those in
make
the
those.
High quantity as possible, that's a possibility. And then once you start melting some of that carbon dioxide, Mars has polar ice caps of frozen carbon dioxide. So it has water, but it also has a lot of trapped frozen carbon dioxide. Once you start heating that up, you release it and you actually create more of a greenhouse effect. So it's a feedback. Uh-huh. And so if we can create just enough of it to set it off, it might actually establish itself at a new equilibrium where it's a much warmer planet.
But this might take millions of years, perhaps.
Oh, yeah, thousands possibly, yeah.
I knew there was a catch. It sounded so good in the prospectus.
Well, you know, you might be around for that. If you upload your intelligence to a computer, which is probably going to happen in the next 20 or 30 years, then you might actually be around to see it.
Well, that's a scary thought right there. And I don't know if I can deal with any of these scary thoughts all at once. First the pasta pass, and now this. But so it does make sense in a certain sense, and another way it doesn't make any sense to me at all, because you know, the one way part of it, because I mean, if you had these rockets taking cargo up to Mars, wouldn't they then be there and we could refit them and come back for a visit?
Well, not necessarily. No. That's like saying, couldn't we use the lunar lander to come back to Earth? And they couldn't, because it's not designed for that. It doesn't have the same types of engines. There's a lot of technical challenges involved in launching something off Mars, and then it has to have potentially a different kind of engine to return to Earth, and it has to have a reentry system. And just getting something, landing something on Mars, like we landed Curiosity, the Mars rover on Mars, that doesn't mean that Curiosity can come back to Earth. It just doesn't have the hardware there. It had a landing system, but it doesn't have a giant rock, you know. So, and I should say, actually, when they were first planning to go to the moon, they wanted to beat the Soviets so badly that both, actually, the Soviets and Americans were considering sending people one way to the moon. And there was a serious proposal to send an astronaut to the moon first and then figure out later how to get them back. And then just keep sending the food and supplies and things like that. So Neil Armstrong could have been a one-way mission to the moon. But Kennedy made it very clear in his speech that the objective was to return.
And he would have had more time to go through his speech. Yeah, that would have been good. One good.
Yeah, for sure. But it makes a lot more sense with Mars than the moon to go one way, because it's such a longer trip. And Mars is actually a lot better suited to keep people alive. Mars has water, for example. All the bulk goods, I mean, you'd have to send food at least in the short term. But the bulk goods, you could actually, the water and the air, you could actually get from Mars itself.
Yeah. Well, it seems like a no-brainer now that you explained it to me. And if I had no brain, I'd go easily. No doubt about it. Can't be any worse than Thousand Oaks, really, if you think about it, after a few million years. Well, thank you, Andrew. It's really a lot to think about. I should say the book is called Leaving Earth. Andrew Rader, Ph.D., wrote it, and I'm very much looking forward to be able to talk about what you're actually doing at some point. I don't know if that ever gets it. I know it's all proprietary. That's a big business right now. It's competitive. NASA made space competitive. That's a good thing, isn't it?
I definitely think it's much more efficient to have private industries doing a lot of the hardware design and build, for sure.
Yeah, very good. Thanks, Andrew, very much. Andrew Rader, ladies and gentlemen. Leaving Earth. See you there. Okay.